or maybe you don't, your life and working with a nonprofit? Because sometimes it's almost...
Yeah, I don't think you do. In case of iDrum, it becomes a lifestyle, right. Basically.
Right. Do you find that many nonprofit arts organizations are that way, or do you think it's specific to arts organizations that aren't, I don't know, that just progressively find funding as they go?
Yeah, well, you know, the Contemporary is a nonprofit,
right.
And so they have more of a business model of mm-hmm. a traditional gallery business model, and whereas before, when it was Nexus and it was over on the other side of town, in fact, I started out playing music at the old Nexus. On there, they had something called Improv Night for a group called Dance Unit, when you played for dancers. So every Wednesday I would go over there and take all my bits and pieces of equipment, you know, and you never knew who were going to show up. And it was more like iDrum is now, you know, and people were attached to it passionately, and I think they might have had a paid staff then. It was, the times were a little bit different, and so the organization was a little bit different. So I think it's, in some ways it's easier, in some ways it's harder if you're attached to it on an almost familial level, you know. You kind of hang out with the people who are on the board. They're your friends. You party with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's good. It's like being married to the organization, really. And even some of the patrons come in, they're kind of like family. We see them a lot. Some of the members, you know, we get a lot of different people, but still there's a crew of people who come in on a regular basis. So that's kind of good. It's kind of comfortable. I mean, an art scene is based on that kind of familiarity, and not simply, okay, if you paid your $5 to get in here, I don't know who you are, come on in and you paid your $5, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
If someone comes up to the door, and as has happened many times with myself when I'm doing the door, and they say, well, I only got $2. I didn't know you were charging tonight. So I say, okay, give me your $2.
Right.
You know, and so they can come in.
Do you think that the community involvement and just the environment of iDrum and that this type of nonprofit arts organization is better, like arts-wise and community involvement-wise, compared to somewhere that has a more business structure?
I don't think it's better, necessarily. I think a healthy art ecology, if you want to put it that way, mm-hmm. requires both of them. You know, if you think of an ecology like they think of it in biology, you know, with they have those pyramids, you know, like a food pyramid, you know, the food chain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and just economically wise, there are many more people down at the bottom, you know, who are scrambling, trying to find a way to do things, both organizations, and then you have a middle level, and then another level, and then the top level, which would be like the Hyde Museum, let's say, or the
right.
Whitney or whatever.
Right.
And I think, an unhealthy art ecology would be something like D.C., Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. where you have a very small pyramid at the top, you know, and then very little, and then a very narrow kind of structure below it,
right.
and not a large, as far as I know, it's been a while since I've been in D.C., but from people I've talked to since then, I think it's probably still the case. So it's not supported by a wide base, but because it's a museum city, it pulls, you know, from all over the place, and tourists, people are coming to see the museum, sort of the dead artist thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a healthy museum is like a big, wide, pyramidal base, and at that, you've got to have, you know, you've got to have some artists that are becoming more and more successful, some artists that are still trying to make it, whatever that means, you know, that's up to the individual artist.
Right.
Organizations that have a certain relationship to their patrons, other organizations that have a certain relationship to their clients, and other organizations have a relationship to the art scene, you know. You got to have all those, and ideally they all work together, and sometimes they're even antagonistic to each other. Because, you know, a family, you know, I'm sure your family is no different than everybody else's, and my family, everybody else's. You know, some people, I can't get along with Susie these days, my sister or my brother, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So arts, you know, I mean, ecologies are that way too. Sometimes you want to kill people,
mm-hmm.
you know, metaphorically speaking, and other times, you know, you don't feel that way at all. You feel very close to people. So I think you need all of those. I don't think it's good for an organization for everything to be just based around a kind of client-patron sort of thing, you know. Maybe I've just got a 19th century idea about what artists are, you know, a more romantic idea. But I think art is more than that, ideally. You know, and that's where the art scene thing comes in, because there, you know, there are parties, there's socialization, socializing with it, and all sorts of aspects. I think Atlanta sometimes, I mean, it's a very heavy socializing city, because I think people, like in Athens, I lived in Athens for 5 years when I went to school. I know people are very social in the streets. You're coming across people all the time. Mm-hmm. And in Atlanta, you don't have those opportunities, so when you got to gallery openings, that's kind of when you party and when you hang around and talk with people, you know. But hopefully there's more to it than just a party scene.
where would you like, ideally, for iDrum to, like, developmentally to keep going? And are you happy with the way it is now? Or?
Well, I'm happy with with the amount of programming we do, and money can help in certain respects. I don't think money would help our, you know. Well, if we were able to offer guarantees, for example, to performing groups, I think that we would be able to raise the bar a little bit about some things we get in. Although I say that, but a group like Go Go Bordello, I don't know if you know that group. They played in Atlanta, Georgia, in Atlanta for the first time about 3 years ago. They contacted someone to play, and I think there were 30 people that showed up. Mm-hmm. And they said they would do it for free, just for the door. Yeah. And then they played at another gallery in town, I think asked $4,000 when they played after us. And then they became huge, large numbers of people. And they do sort of gypsy punk sort of mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. So, they knew we were sort of impoverished, and they wanted to play anyway. They were coming down from New York, so sometimes people will cut us a break, and we'll play anyway. And sometimes we can get an outside curator to be able to put up some money to bring people in. And as regards art shows, it gets very difficult. I wish that we had sort of a secure funding source, so that. Because after the Warhol grant is up, there's a year when we can't apply again. And we'd been using that money that we'd been previously taking out of iDrum and really, really scrambling every month, kind of to make the ends meet at the end of the month. So I wish that there was a way that, we could take care of shipping expenses, both bringing stuff in, sending stuff out, able to pay curators, which, you know, with the Warhol we were able to do for the first time. It's not. I don't think that it increases the value of anything, but it does give some amount of respect to the artist and to the people working it, where they don't have to do things for free all the time. I mean, artists should be paid, you know, for what they do, just like everybody else, I think, because people derive benefit from that. They're social cultural workers, if you want to put it that way. And so they should get some benefit, other than people saying, "Oh yeah, I saw your show. It was great. I had a good time. I fell down, threw up," you know,
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
So I wish that, and that was a great thing about having Warhol money come in. I always thought that it helped pump up the scene a little bit, because it gave people some money, you know, and some sort of self-respect because even artists equate a little bit, you know,
right.
money. They say, "Okay." I got $500 for this painting. Wow, I can go out and go to a movie or pay a bill or whatever. That's not a bad thing, you know.
Right. Do you feel like the shows are better when you can compensate a curator or an artist for their work? Do you feel like the art's better?
No, I don't think so. If I thought that, I'd think that, you know, most of what we've done has been crap. Which, of course, I don't think that that's the case. But I do think that if you're able to pay artists, if you're able to pay a curator, they're able to maybe take some time off from something they're working on, mm-hmm. and they can be a little more at ease with their choices they're making. And if the artists are being paid a little bit, then they might make decisions that they might not otherwise make. So I don't know, you know. I'm not a fan of, I mean, I love money just like everybody else. I love to have it, even though I don't have any. But I'm not willing to make sacrifices to have that just to have money,
right,
you know.
Right.
But there does come a point when, you know, you need security for the space, or you want to bring in somebody and they've got like 8-foot by 3-foot paintings and there's no way to get them here because you can't pay the cost and things like that.
Right.
And they might want some money also, you know, and I guess with performing artists, that's quite often the case. Mm-hmm. You know?
Do artists and curators largely contact you, or do you put out a call?
Well,
how does it work here?
We do it several ways. Our committee meets once a month, and right now our shows are more or less built out through 08, end of 08. We'll start programming 09 within the next couple of months or so. And so we'll have just, you know, brainstorming bowl sessions where we, you know, we sit around with some beer and pretzels and do a little bit of business for the shows that are up and then say, well, you know, we've got this show in October. What are we going to do? Let's, you know, we've got these. And then we have to go through all of the submissions we have. A lot of people send us just out of the blue, send us a lot of material to want to be included in shows. Sometimes the submissions that are given to us will suggest ideas for a show. For example, I'm curating one this in August 08 called Crop Circles, Sacred Geometry, and Psychogeography. And I expanded that. I wasn't able to make this art committee meeting, but I expanded that from the art committee's suggestion because they had gotten something from an artist by the name of Brother Boko who wanted to do something on crop circles. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of one of my little mm-hmm. weird hobbies is keeping up with the whole crop circle thing. So Susan Sipsick knew that that was the case, so she said, well, let's give it to Robbie. He'll lead it, so to speak. So I said, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, I can run with that and kind of turn it, expand the project a little bit and make it into a little wider idea, you know. And then so what I'll do is then write a call for that and send it out various places and then contact some people that I know in town that might have an interest in doing something along those lines that I know have an interest in geography or weird kinds of topics like that. And sometimes, like the show that's up right now for the Artist in Residence International, they contacted us. They had been in remission for a long time. They came back into existence and had a couple of small shows and spaces. And Heather Weiss contacted me and said, hey, would you be interested in collaborating with us to do a show? And so they curated the work, basically. And that's the way that came about. Yeah. So people can contact us about shows that they want to curate. Sometimes board members or art committee members who are on the board. And we also have the art committee open to community people sometimes. We'll say, you know, invite so-and-so to come by to kind of help us brainstorm with ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. How long do shows last? How many do y'all do a year?
Oh, gosh, I'd have to look at the the small gallery originally started out as a space like over at the old Trinity space where people could just come in sort of at the last minute mm-hmm. and put something up, quality be damned, it didn't matter, you know, just
right.
as a playful kind of space just to do something sort of wacky and artistic. And mm-hmm. But then we moved here and then built out that little gallery. Artists would come in and say, well, I want to do something, but I really like that small space, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that has evolved to be a curated space, just like the rest of the space. It's a little bit looser than the main gallery space. It runs for 3 weeks, and I guess our criteria aren't as stringent. But I wish that we did have a space where someone could just come in, sort of at, you know, on the spur of the moment, and just do something. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really happen like it did over at the old space. This space and the back space run 5 to 6 weeks, something like that. And the reason why when we were over the old space, shows would run much shorter, 3 to 4 weeks, but you don't get any reviews. Sometimes reviews don't come out for 3 weeks, you know, for the show. So we extended it for that reason. It's sort of a standard practice, you know, to have them that long, I guess. Some people have them a lot longer than that. But we found that 5 to 6 weeks is about right.
That's
for
good.
Us. Yeah.
Okay. Well, lastly, do you have any advice for someone, you know, like myself, who wants to go into arts, nonprofit arts organizations?
What is it about arts, nonprofit arts organizations that you're interested in? I mean, why do you want to go into that?
I don't know. I'm an art history major, so I've always been interested in art. I used to think I wanted to work in a big museum, and but I felt it was too academic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started working in Ithaca, I really liked the community involvement and how things just kind of develop. And
So what do you do at Ithaca? You're part of, I mean, how is Ithaca?
Basically like this. We don't have any full-time staff or anything, but basically the board members run Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically volunteer work.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do there?
I'm vice president of the board of directors.
Oh, okay.
So, a range of things.
So you do, like I was saying about iDrum, you do many hats and many sorts
exactly.
of things. All the scut work that needs to be done.
You're there
to
do it. Right.
So, and going to school, what do you think that will enable you to?
I guess I hope to, I know for Ithaca, sometimes things, I get worried, I guess, because I want it to keep going, and I know that we're still fairly young, so I think that's why I want to go to school for nonprofits, just so I can have a better understanding of how they work and how you can make it more stable and more successful.
Mm-hmm. What's your idea of success?
I don't know, not being stressed out all the time. being able to delegate more, I guess.
And yeah. Well, I mean, opposed to you that, in fact, success of a certain way is about being stressed out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think of iDrum, if iDrum was less stressful and less stressed out, I think it would be less successful.
Right.
I don't think we would have gotten it, you know, I mean, it's the kind of rolling and tumbling. I ain't lying to you about that, you know.
Right.
20 people on the board and 1,000 people coming through a month, and any given year we're serving 500 artists, you know, who are coming through and doing things. And but I think that the chaos is part of a certain strategy of success. You know, you've got to have that kind of energy, momentum, and when you have that, you're going to have a certain amount of anxiety about it. And when you stop having that anxiety, when everything is like, wow, everything's really running smoothly. Wow, what's going on here? You know, I mean, at a certain point, then you may begin to say to yourself, maybe we're not doing something quite right here.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I think there's don't you think there's a certain amount of push you got to have?
I do.
You know? I know it's attractive to think of, and I hate, believe me, I think myself it'd be nice to, you know, to have a week of where I could just, you know, plan my own projects and everything ran smoothly, and you know, you get some money for what you're doing, and you get a claim and things like that. But that's really, I mean, that's not the scene that's given to us right now, you know,
right.
for whatever reason.
Sometimes I wonder if the quality of our shows or, you know, our range isn't as good as it could be if we had tools that would make that better, though, sometimes. So.
Well, what kind of tools do you think that would be? Do you think the school would give you those tools?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what gives us those tools in the case of iDrum. It's the people that we have on the board and the environment that we're in.
Right.
But it's people, you know, who you know, have very distinct interests in some cases. And then on the other hand also is that for whatever reason, however this has happened, you guys have a net presence, I assume, right? I've seen your website. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we get tons of stuff. We had a couple of guys from Russia contact us, wanted to come and play, you know, and they said, well, we'll be glad to pay as long as you can pay us some money to get some tickets. Of course, tickets from Russia, I don't think so. But, you know, people are always clamoring to get here to play, and the same with the arts. So, you know, I think the tools of discrimination, I guess, to be able to choose from that, I guess there is an educational component to that, I don't, you know, but there's also a self-educating component to it that requires reading and thinking and talking with people and knowing what's going on in the rest of the country and the rest of the world, right? I mean,
okay.
And that's, I guess, so you're thinking the school will give those kinds of tools to you? Or
I think that the school helped me understand just the psychology of nonprofits and the just the atmosphere, what they are exactly and how they tend to work.
Mm.
And that might help me administratively run or work for a place better.
So do you have particular problems at Ithaca? I mean, like the problems I was alluding to?
Sometimes we wonder if we're getting our call out in the place that we need to. And that, I don't think school will teach me necessarily. That's just me getting out there and or us getting out there.
And chance also sometimes. Right. Sometimes it connects with people to show, and other times it doesn't seem to.
I don't know. I guess that's a really good question.
So you, but it seems like you have some dissatisfaction with your situation right now.
I'm really excited about what Athica presents. I think sometimes our challenges are just our like being in Athens instead of.
I think that's part of it. I mean, just think if you were like with this group, the Coleman Center in York, Alabama, 2,700 people. And they do, I mean, if you go online, you'll see the Coleman Center, you'll see they do really neat contemporary art, you know. Our Ruby Green in Nashville, you know. Nashville is not known as the most progressive city in the world. So there is a throw of the dice as a location. But, I mean, I would think that Athens, in some respects, you know, you got the school there you're pulling from, you know, pretty cosmopolitan, mobile, big chunk of people that are coming through every year, you know, every few months. Do you see much spill over there from the school?
Some. Not as much as you would think.
Gosh, I don't know. You know, I like your space there, and I've been up there, and I've seen it.
Thank
but
you.
I don't know. There's just, you know, iDrum has created this vortex of energy. You know, that spins off in all directions, which we try to foster. But part of it, undoubtedly, is because iDrum inherited the energy and momentum after the Olympics. You know, a lot of people were moving here, and Atlanta seemed somewhat clamped down in a way as regards certain kinds of art enterprises, and especially for the demographic that we served initially. You know, kids, I don't know, in their mid-20s to late 30s. Now it's been expanded quite a bit. You know, we've got a wide range of people that we serve, but still the energy comes from that sort of tremendous growth that Atlanta has had. So what do you expect to come out of, you know, your relation with Athica there? I mean, what do you want to move on to another
probably
gallery type situation?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to think about?
Yeah, right now I'm working with Athica, but that really has just opened me up to the, I don't know, the field of arts organizations, I guess. So I don't think I'll stay there, but after school, I think that's why I want to go to grad school for this, so I can move on. But
are you an artist yourself?
No, I'm not.
And but you've obviously got interest in.
Yeah, I do.
Art, right? Any particular sort of art that?
Actually, I'm more into contemporary photography, but just contemporary art. That's why I'm specializing in as an art history major. So.
Right. Well, it's a little hard to be really feel like you're on the top of your game if you're not in some kind of urban area. You know, a lot of people in Atlanta have problems with Atlanta, but still, like I said, it's got a lot of energy and a lot of people that are thinking about art sorts of topics in whatever fashion that they do. I don't know, Athens is still, you know, it's like, what, 40, 50,000 people?
I guess so, yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It's kind of rough if you're, you know, if you want to stretch out your legs and run. Well, it's like, you know, Athens has always been kind of, in some ways, maybe kind of a closed community. It's like a lot of small towns, even though you got the arts, I mean, the school there. Still, I remember for a long time it was hard for us to get music people down from Athens, you know, because you got a lot of little scenes up there that are heavy. And I lived there for 5 years, and I know how comfortable it is to be in Athens, at least when I was there. So I'm sure it's still pretty comfortable to be up there in some ways. And hence what I was saying about the comfortableness and success and anxiety. You know, there's some conflicts there.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I think if you're doing your art, you need some downtime. But if you're trying to like promote art or trying to deal in the thick of an art scene, you're going to have a lot of pressures and anxieties and instabilities and chaos and things like that. And that's, you know, to me, that's good. If you can survive it.
Yeah.
And you don't drink too much or take other kind of substances, you know. So, anyway. That's, I don't know if that's advice helped any at all about anything. But
it does.
But my final advice would just be to follow your passion about things and wherever that leads, and hopefully things will open up. Either you'll become more satisfied with your chaos, mm-hmm. or you'll become dissatisfied mm-hmm. with, you know, the situation as it has been, and then you'll figure something else out about it. But I don't know there's anything necessarily bad about a certain amount of chaos, per se, if you can live with it. You know? In fact, that's, in case of iDrum's perception, my perception of iDrum, it's necessary for the functioning of it. You know, it gives a certain amount of freshness to it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope you some.
Yeah.